when you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. How you set us free, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Restore the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. At this time, we are going to dismiss our young people. And as our young people are dismissing, let's greet our pastor with a hearty amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we call from Romans chapter 2 tonight. Amen. Romans chapter 2. If nothing like going back, we're going to read together verses 1 through 14 to the old time way. Amen. Tonight, our subject that we're dealing with is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Jeremiah, one of the lowest points in his life when he needed encouragement. In Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, verse 16, he said, Lord, thy words were found. How many are looking for a word?
Hallelujah.
Lord, your word. Jeremiah, when he got to one of the low points, he said, Lord, thy words were found. And not only were they found, but they were the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Amen. Nothing can rejoice our souls like the Word of God. Amen. What a fitting song. I'm going back to the old time way. And then a little earlier, Jeremiah says, stand ye in the way of sin and for the
old path.
Wherein is the good way. When we get back to the old path, amen, when we get in the Word of God, there's nothing but a good way. Amen. And tonight, I want to encourage you. If I don't encourage you to do anything, hold on to God's word. Amen. The Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not his word. God's word will abide forever. Amen. So hold on to his word. Even the psalmist said, Lord, thy words were a light unto my path. Amen. God's word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Yes,
what?
Sir.
God's word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So tonight, you know, we place stock on a lot of things, but there's no comparison to the word of God. Romans chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through, I think it's 13 or 14 together. 1 through 13, I believe, or 14. We'll see if we get there. But let us start. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing.
But
we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such sins. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness,
and forbearance,
and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself
wrath
against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds.
To them who by
patience and continuous in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you for thy word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for being so much better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. And Lord, tonight we ask you to impart wisdom. Lord, send thy word of anointing, send thy word of inspiration. Lord, speak to the needs that exist in our congregation, individually and collectively. Lord, we just ask you tonight to show yourself strong in our behalf. And Lord, we acknowledge that at this time without you, we can do nothing. Lord, except you stop by here and leave us a blessing, all of our labor will be in vain. And Lord, we ask you to bless us on this evening and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen. May be seated. Actually, this Romans chapter 2 is something that we've gone over probably for the last couple of weeks. But there's so much in the Word of God. And sometimes you just take two verses and just go on and on for those two verses. But I just thought it was fitting that we don't always skim over some of the subjects in the Word of God. It's so important that we not only know it, but that we get it down in our hearts. Amen? But before we go back in here, I want to read you a couple of scriptures. First, we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just for us to understand how important God's word is. You know, a lot of time we come to church, we hear the word of God, and the Bible says we let it slip. Mm-hmm. We don't always digest it. We don't always ingest it. We don't always assimilate it. In other words, we don't get everything that God intends for us out of the word of God. We hear it, but we soon forget it. Mm-hmm. Amen. But it's so important tonight. We're going to go with just a few scriptures here, and then we're going to just trust that God will have his way. But we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read, I'm not going to read a whole lot because this is not our main subject. But I thought it was just important that we read. We read verses 21 through 25 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And our subject that we're trying to deal with, the message that we're trying to convey, is how important God's word is. Amen. David didn't call it the word of God, but he said, Lord, cast me enough away from your presence. He said, but take not thy Holy Spirit. You know what David realized? Said, praise the Lord, Pastor Leo. David realized that I could lose a lot of things. But everything in this life, we can recover and make up for it. But David realized, Lord, if I lose you, I lost everything. We can lose a lot of things in life, and you know, there's hurts and disappointments, there's some things that will crush us emotionally and also mentally. But Lord, if we lose you, amen, if we lose God, where can we go? Who can we turn to? Amen. And the apostles realized that when they realized the hard saying that Jesus gave them. And the Bible said from that day, many of his disciples went back because they said, this word of God, this is a hard saying. They said, I can't receive this word. It's hard. And Jesus looked at him like he looked at many of us tonight. And the question that he'd ask is, will you go also? Amen. Will you go also? I choose to be like Peter and the rest of the apostles. They said, Lord, where can we go? Who can we turn to? Mm-hmm. Where can we get help from?
Right.
For you have the words of eternal life. Where else can you go?
Right.
Who else can you turn to? In our weakest points, in our low moments. Amen. When you're just there and all you can do sometimes is just close your eyes and just moan and think about God's goodness. Mm-hmm. But even in the midst of that moaning and thinking, God will speak to us and to our situations. Amen. Nobody else can do it. No one in the songwriter said, can't nobody? Come on, can't nobody?
Do me like you.
When you're down, he will
pick you up.
Amen. When things don't seem like they're going well, he will turn you around. And most of all, he will place your feet
on solid ground.
Amen. God never would place us in a, put us in a position where we will fail, or where we lose hope or lose confidence. Our confidence tonight must be in God. Our confidence has to be in
God.
The scripture says, don't lose your confidence. Or be confident in this very thing, that he that has begun a
good work in you.
Lord, when he saved us, when God called us, he began a
good work in you.
Good work. But most of all, what I want to say with you, because he said we're made partakers with Christ.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. You know, the world is all right, but this world is not my home.
Yes.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just a stranger. I'm just passing through. Amen. My loved ones, my hopes and all my loved ones, they're all laid up on high. I'm just a stranger. Passing through. Amen. This is not my home. Our eternal resting place will be with God. That's why David the psalmist said, Lord, just don't take. The only thing that's going to be with me forever is God's word. All of us, we have relationships, husband, wives, best friends, grandparents, parents. All of us, one day, it's appointed unto man, we're going to be separated. The only thing that will never be taken from any of us is God. We should cherish God, cherish his word. The only thing that will never leave is God. But the question that we have to ask ourselves this evening is, how many of us cherish God enough that we spend that time with him in his word, amen, in sweet communion and fellowship? Mm-hmm. We put time in everything, but the only thing that we will never lose, and that's God. Mm-hmm. No matter what. Now, man can do a lot to hurt us and try and destroy us, but they cannot touch the God in us and the God around us.
Right.
Why cherish things that have no real meaning when God should be our everything? Mm-hmm. Verse 21 reads, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in
God.
We got his word. That's your faith and that's your hope. You know why people are losing hope? Because they've lost their faith in God. You know why people are quitting on God? They've lost their hope and faith in God. And I'm going to next verse, but Paul says in Romans, he says that hope will never make you ashamed.
Right.
When you trust in God, hope will never make you ashamed. Well, why won't it make us ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our
hearts
by the Holy Ghost. So since that's in our heart, hope won't make you ashamed. A lot of times you say, well, I'm afraid to do this. You don't have to be afraid of God, because God won't let you be shamed. God won't let you be, I'm afraid to do this. God says he won't let you be shamed, because he's in you. Seeing you have purified your souls in what? How do I purify my soul? How do I make myself clean? How do I get God's blessing in doing what?
Being
true. Somebody said, well, you know, when I look at my life and when I look at my situation, I'm messed up. You ever feel like that? I messed up. If I didn't mess up one way, I messed up another way. Well, the only way you can clean that up is by obeying the truth. Nothing else can clean you up. Nothing else can purify you but the truth. Go to the next verse. Next verse. It said, being born again, not of what kind of seed?
Corruptible.
Amen. Everything down here on this earth is corruptible.
Mm-hmm.
And as we read on, I believe it was Sunday. No, that wasn't Sunday, because Sunday I got kicked out the pulpit, so that must be Friday. We went over on Friday about things that are corruptible, where moth and rust doth corrupt. The word of God is not corruptible. Nothing can touch God and his word. Not being born again of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible. Well, what is the incorruptible?
Word of God.
Word of God. Hallelujah. The only thing that cannot be corrupted, torn, or tainted is God's word. But why is it that receives the least attention? Why do we treasure that the least? when God's word can do the most for us. By the word of God, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, and grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of God.
Yes.
Why focus on anything other than? Come on, why? Why? You know, it's good to read some books and all of that stuff, but guess what? All that stuff, the Bible said, is going to pass with the using. It's going to pass with the using. It's good to have knowledge. Amen. But the only thing that will abide forever is God's word.
Yeah.
It said, but the word of God endureth
forever.
The word of God endureth
forever.
So we need to cherish God and his word. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 2. And you can hold James chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 7. And tonight I will be short. So I said amen. I say it for you, amen. You know, I try to be short every week, but just God won't let me be short. You know, because you know, thy word have I hid in my heart. If we ever get God's word down in our heart, in our souls, if we allow God's word to effectuate itself in us. What does it mean to effectuate? It means, Lord, just work on me.
Right.
Work on the hidden parts. Work on the secret parts. Work on the dishonest part. Work on the deep parts of me, Lord, that I don't even realize is there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let God's word effectuate itself in you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let it work on you. Romans chapter, we're not going to go through the whole thing because I think a lot of it is pretty much self-explanatory, but we're going to go through Romans 2. And you know, I don't try to do this intensely, but Romans 2 and if you read Romans 2 and Matthew chapter 7, guess what? Parallel. They line right up together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to deal with every aspect of it, but this is pretty much, it's self-explanatory. It says, I'll read it fast. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. Amen. You ever judge someone else? Isn't it easy to judge others? But when the mirror gets turned around, right? Turn the mirror around.
Yes.
It's hard then. Yeah. We be finding all kind of reasons. Well, the only reason I did this is because of that and because of the other. You know, when we give somebody else some instruction, we can like, you can do this, you can do that. But when the shoe is turned, not the shoe, what is it? When the whatever is turned. We had a table, that's it. I knew something was turning. When the tables are turned, right? It's hard for us to judge ourselves. He said, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest,
do the same thing.
You ever tell people, what's wrong with you? Why don't you come to church? Why don't you take heed to God's word? And then when our testing time come, right? So he said, you judge the others, but then you turn around and what?
Do the same thing.
Amen. Let's keep going. I will keep going. I'm not going to try and mess with you all too much. So, but we are sure that the judgment of God is
according to truth.
Whatever God does is right. Mm-hmm. It's according to truth. Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and do us the same that thou shalt. It's not about what man says, I see, it's about what God sees. That's why his word have I hid in my
heart.
Amen. It's easy to put it in our lips, but when I get it down in my heart, the thing is this, when you got God's word down in your heart, I don't care who you are, I don't care how far away from God you get, when you do wrong, that word will correct you.
Yes.
When it's where? In our heart. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and
penitence.
You got to get it in your heart. A lot of times we come to church and we hear the word of God, and instantly when we hear the word of God, we put up a shield. Well, You know, when they come, you be preaching and somebody be looking at somebody else smiling, they say, yeah, he's tearing you up. Yeah, he's tearing her up. Yeah, he's tearing him up. You ever see a man like that? He be tearing you up too. Because God is no respecter of person. But he said, after thy heart, and penitent heart. When we get in the place of God where we will not let obeying the word of God purify us, when we will not let God's word work on us, when we will not let God change us, when our path is supposed to be as a shining light that shines, when we refuse to accept the word of God, then it will not change us. When it can't penetrate your heart, when God's word can't. Impenitent means there's no penance, or there's no repentance, or there's no change. God's word must change. Amen. It's like salt. The Lord said it's like salt. God's salt seasons, it changes, and then after it changes you, it preserves you. So the word of God is intended to change. What is it changing? He's changing the wrong, because he doesn't have to change the right. Said, but when you refuse to yield to God's word, when you refuse to submit, you just put up a shield, you put up a wall. And not like what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, God's word is like a hammer. It's able to break all those hard hearts if we let him. But when you refuse to receive God's word, he said, it's impenitent heart. And when we get to that point where, I've been like this, for how old am I? 50 something years old. I've been like this for 50 something years. I'm not going to change. That's a problem. I've been like this for so long, and I don't care what anybody say. That's that impenitent heart. That heart must change. Well, I'm going to do this. You know, there's sometimes, not in here, but I've seen some people in places. They know it's wrong. They know it's not God's will, but they do it anyway. That's an impenitent heart. That's a heart that refused to receive with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, is able to change you. God's word is able to purify you. You know, purify means that we all have some imperfections. Anybody here perfect? If you are, just keep it to yourself. All you perfect ones, keep your hands down. Everybody that's imperfect, you can put them up with me. We all got some imperfections. We all got some part of us that God has to work on. Well, he can only work on us through his word. You ever, there were some people I've heard years ago say, well, if God meant it for me, he would have said it to me. Every time we come to church, he's speaking. Every time we come to church, we're speaking. But because we like to judge others, we always think God is speaking to the person next to me. God is speaking to every last one of us. Right? Every time we come to church. Because we all have some areas in our lives that need to be worked on. I don't care how high you get. We all have issues. Amen. We all have issues. So he said, after the heart, hardness and repentant heart treads up unto thyself, wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgments of God. If God judges us, it's righteous. You say, well, God, I feel like the worst of everything. God said, well, that's all right. I'm just trying to lead you to a penitent heart and not an impenitent heart. Go ahead. Who runneth unto every man according as they think? And according as they judge themselves, God will judge us based on our works. Your deeds are your works, what you do. That's how God is going to judge you. Not on what you say and all the things you talk about. God says, okay, I heard what you say, but on the back side, I'm watching what you do. I heard what you say. God says, man, you know how this is our God now. All of us are at the same time. God is able to discern. God says, okay, I see you're tired. I see you're struggling here. I see your mind is on next week. I see your mind is on last year. So God is just judging all these situations. ways at the same time, but his judgments are righteous. So God says, I'm trying to pull you in. I'm trying to effectuate change. We can only receive that change through the word of God, who are ready to every man. There's no exceptions. You know, that sometimes as parents, you know, as parents, all you parents, all of us parents, got favorites. You know, parents got favorites?
Amen.
Yeah, okay, man, say, Jesse, he's smiling. No, Jesse, you don't have no favorites?
Yeah.
Huh? All my was famous. I was good. I blended all five of them together. Everybody got a favorite. I don't care what you are. Everybody got a favorite. I guess I was favorite to the girls, right? The girls. Girls got better murder because they get in a lot of trouble. But everybody has a favorite. Well, God says, you know what? When it comes to my word, I cannot have partiality. I cannot have favoritism. What I say unto one, he says, I say unto. There's some people say, well, the men have this special. No, he said, what I say to the man, I say to the woman, what I say to the woman, I say. What God says to one, he says to all. There, with God, there's no respect to person. And God's not going to judge us based on our lip service. God judges us based on our works. All right, I got to speed up. All right, so I'll be in. To whom? To them who by patience, continuance, and what?
Well-doing.
Patient, continuance, and what?
Well-doing.
Patient, continuance, and well-doing. And if we want to use another scripture just to highlight that more, in Galatians chapter 6, he says, be not weary in what?
Well-doing.
For in due season ye shall, if you what? Faithful continuance in well-doing. You know what that means? In other words, he said, when the trial comes that you weren't expecting, when the test comes out of nowhere, you will not be altered from your spiritual goal, which is heaven. You won't allow that test to cause you to go off track. You know how sometimes we can be on a spiritual high, we shout, we praising the Lord. We just encouraging the whole world. We're going to go say this and say that, and the test comes. And we can't do anything. We said, well, we want to do it to them who by patient, continuance, and what?
Well-doing.
Amen. I want to allow that test to change my course or my action as far as God is concerned. So I'm going to just keep doing well. Because if I just keep doing well in due season, I'm going to, if I faint not. But unto them who are contentious. Well, what are you contentious about? The word of God. You know what contentious is? Another synonym for contentious is self-willed and refusing to yield to God. Contentious is a person that is self-willed. Anybody know anybody like that? The self-willed? Oh, you know, that's good. We're doing all right then. We're in the right church. A self-willed individual say, I know what God said, but I'm doing what I want to do. I know that's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know I said the wrong thing and I should have made it right, but guess what? That person is contentious. They refuse to submit to God. They refuse to yield to God. So when you don't submit to God, then guess what? The devil just hangs around. When you don't submit to God, the devil's like, okay, I got a foot in this door. So you know what he does? First, I heard this preacher was preaching. He said, you know, when we give sin a little leeway, he said, first, sin will come and knock at the gate. He said, first he'll try to get in the house. He said, nah, you can't get in the house, but you can sleep out of the yard. So we won't let sin in the house, but we let it stay in the yard. And then sin will come back the next day and say, well, see, I wasn't so bad. He said, yeah, you were all right. So the next time I said, okay, well, sin, you don't have to sleep in the yard anymore, you can sleep on the porch. This is how sin deceives us. And this is how being contentious and self-willed will deceive us. He said, so the next time he comes, he's on the porch. Then he come to you the next day and say, yeah, I wasn't so bad, why don't you let me in the house? He said, well, He said to yourself, well, yeah, it seems like I am in control. Right? But you're being manipulated, you're being set up. Because of your own self-will. He He said, the next thing you know, he said, okay, Sam, I'm going to let you sleep in here, but you can't, I'm going to let you sleep in the house, but you can't go in the whole house. You can come in the house, but you got to come in, the, just stay in one room. What's Sam doing? Sam is just working, just manipulating. So then before you know it, good, Sam is in the house and you're on the porch. Right? You're on the outside looking in. Why? Because you compromise. That's a person that's contentious, refusing to yield to God. And when you're contentious, you do not what?
Obey
the truth. When you're contentious, when you're self-willed, you refuse to obey the truth. But our righteousness, can you skip down? I'm going to skip this. I'll skip down to verse 13 right there. It says, but not the hearers of the law are what?
Just before God.
You can't be just before God, just always come to church and listen, but not having it become a part of you. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the what? Doers of the law shall be justified. Not the hearers. It's good to hear, but then it should effectuate a change. Now let's go to James chapter 1. Not the hearers of the law are justified. Lord, thy word have I hid in my heart. Not the hearers are justified before God. Justified means God will make you right. When we get saved, we are justified by faith. Salvation is God justified us by faith. In other words, what it means when God justifies us by faith is, listen, all of you should wind up in hell because the wages of sin is death. But God says, now I'm going to justify you. Though you should be paying the penalty for sin, my justification is I forgive you. So when we give it to God's word, God continues to justify us by faith. But when we're contentious and refuse to obey the truth, we will not be justified. Then we set our own course. James chapter 1, and we're going to go to, I'm not going to read a heap of heap, but let's go to verse 19. All of these scriptures, you know, if in your spare time, you can read them. What I used to do after every sermon, I go home at that night or the next day, and I read over all the scriptures also, because it's so much in the Word of God, you can never get it all. I guarantee you never get it all. It said, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be in church, be swift to hear, not judge somebody else. Swift to hear and what?
Slow to speak.
When you're in church, yeah, you ever see my people leaving this party? Yeah, I'm talking about you. God said, I'm talking right to you. You missed me because you're judging everybody else. So he said, be swift to
hear.
And be
slow
to speak. And slow to what?
Wrath.
For the wrath of man never worked the righteousness of God. Let's keep going. We're going on that recently. He said, now, what we need to do, if we're not contentious, contentious means let's submit to God. Let's receive His word. Let's not put up a shield. Let's not have an impenitent heart. Let's not have a hard heart, but let's submit. Let's be pliable. Let us be soft. Let the word of God work on us to change us. He said, wherefore, therefore, all filthy and superfluity of, in other words, you're just boiling over with the wrong. You're wrong, you're wicked, your imagination, your thoughts, everything is wrong. And not just that, he said, but you're overflowing with it. That's not God. He said, and the only way that you won't overflow with your own wickedness and your own ways is that you must receive with what?
Meekness
is humbleness. Humility. When I present myself before God, like Isaiah in the 6th chapter, when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord and his train filled the temple, and then Isaiah looked at himself when he saw God in his majesty. This is how we have to be in receiving God's word. All Isaiah could say is, Lord, woe is me. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, Lord, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. When I look at God and his majesty and his greatness, Lord, what am I that you're even mindful of me? So that's what it means. We've got to receive with meekness is an engrafted word. You just gotta say, Lord, feed me with food that's convenient for me. Amen. I know Job says, I esteem the words of his. How many of us esteem God's word tonight? More than my necessary. Somebody said, man, I can't go to church. I gotta go get some food. Job said, not me. Job realized that he had reached a point in his life where he needed God's word. He needed a change. So Job said, Lord, I esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. Receive with meekness and say, engrafted word. Now, everybody know about engrafting, right? Everybody know about engrafting?
No, Pastor.
Who knows about that? Okay. All right, Billy knows about it. Engrafted means that God takes his words. Amen. Because our heart naturally, our hearts will resist the word of God. Amen. Naturally, our flesh and our mind will resist God's word. So God has to take his word and he has to graft it into our hearts. Amen. He has to take his word. And this is what it's like God is trying to put his word in our hearts. And we're so meek, we say, Lord, you know what? That's an ugly part of me. Work on it. Lord, that's a part of me that I've had for years. Go ahead and cut it out and work on it. That's receiving it with meekness. You don't receive it with meekness. God is trying to get in. You keep fighting God. No, Lord, I don't want you to take that away from me. I've had that for all my life. And God is trying to take that word. He's trying to work on that part of you that needs to change. That's receiving his engrafted word. When God takes that word that under natural circumstances or normally would not be planted, and God works on it. He works on that part of you that's been bad. He works on that part of you that's taking you away from God. God just keeps working on it. That's receiving his word with meekness. Say, Lord, whatever it takes, I must be saved. However you have to save me, however you have to mold me. Receive with meekness and graduate, which is able to what? Save our souls. But be what? Doers of the word and not?
Hearers only.
God, what do you mean? Be what? Doers. But the word and not?
Hearers only.
Because when you come to church and you just hear the word and you don't let it reach your heart, when you don't receive it with meekness, when you walk out the door, you deceive yourself. You know, God's word is so, you don't have to figure it out. It's in there. It's in black and white, right? They said, one picture's worth a what? But it's black and white. He said, when you don't receive God's word, when you don't do the word, then because you are contentious, meaning self-will, when you leave out, you deceive yourself. Well, how do I deceive myself? Let's keep going. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his
face in glass.
This is mean you're looking in the mirror. All right, you looking in the mirror at yourself, and you know it's like I'll give you this example. You know when you ever have, you know, when we were growing up as kids, when you got pimples and stuff, you always were self-conscious. You ever have a pimple or something? You're just like, man, you're trying to cover it all up and act like you got a headache. You know, trying to cover it up and put on some big shades so they can't see whatever's behind it. Cause you what? You're self-conscious. Where did you see it at? Started in the mirror. If you don't see it in the mirror, you won't think about it. Right, so he said, now you see that part of you that you don't want nobody else to see in the mirror. But when you don't receive my word, then go to the next verse. He said, but straightway he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And he straightway forgetteth. He forget the parts that you didn't want nobody else to see. Why? Because you're not giving heed to God's word. We must allow God's word to work on us, to change us. Forget what manner man he is, but whoso looketh into the
perfect law,
God's word is perfect. And his word will liberate us from whatever is going on in our lives. I don't care who you are. It's God's word is perfect. And it will liberate us from whatever is going on in our lives. Somebody said, well, I need help with drugs. Go to the word of God. It liberates. I need help with the alcohol.
Go to the Word of God and liberate.
Any vice, anything that has you occupied, tied up and bound, the Word of God will liberate you. Because it's the perfect law of
liberty.
Now, there's a lot of programs, and I'm not against the programs. If you can't, if you don't let God help you, you shouldn't let the program help you. But if you want the perfect help, go to the perfect law, which is the Word of God. He being not a what? But notice how James puts a twist on it now. He said, but a doer of the what? Not the words. The words will produce the works. Because the Bible says he's going to judge us based on our deeds. Now he talks about the word, but then he said the only way that you can show that you can receive the word is by the life that you live, by the works. Not being a forgetful him, but a doer of the what?
Works.
Well, what's the works?
The word.
When you do the works and do the word, this man shall be
blessed
in his deeds. Who needs a blessing?
Amen.
You can't get blessed going against God. You can't get blessed doing it your way. You can't get blessed being contentious. Contentious is, you know, when, all of us, I don't care who you are, when you get in your prime time by yourself, you're like, man, God, please change this part of me. You know, in your private time, you know, in front of everybody else, you're all right. But God sees you when nobody else does. And God sees that part of you that you just disgusted. That part of you that you just completely, Lord, just take it away. God sees that part of you. And God says, I can bless you if you yield. But the longer you fight, the worse it gets. Like when we were growing up, how when we were getting ready to get a whipping, and we can do it real fast and get it over with, or we can make it a lot longer. No, no, y'all can get whippings in the north. We got whippings in the south. We got some serious whippings. Up here, do all that 1, 2, 3 time out mess. I don't know what all that stuff is. With my daughter told us 1, 2, 3. I said, yeah, 4, 5, 6. What are y'all got counting for? You better get a belt or switch or something and do some change. So we got something about weapons. They said, now you can make this easy or you can make this hard. Right? You can make it easy or you can make it hard. It's better to go ahead and take it and get it over with. Because every once in a while we fought, man, after we finished fighting, it was so, y'all, we used to get whipped with switches. Y'all know what those things are, switches. Y'all know the switches?
Yeah.
The switches break together like somebody's plaid pair. Thing wouldn't break for nothing. It's like, man, we go to bed that night and still crying the next day. Crying all night long, didn't even realize it. We'd get whipped so bad, but that's what we used to get. But we can make it bad or we can make it easy. Well, with God, it's the same way. We can either yield to God or we can make the situation that much worse. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. But now let's go to Matthew chapter 7 in our closing. Matthew chapter 7. Don't be obstinate. Don't be self-willed. And don't be presumptuous. Allow God to help you. Allow God to change you. Well, Lord, how can I allow you? Just receive with meekness his engrafted word, which is able to. Somebody said, I feel like I'm so far away from God because you haven't received his word. You haven't allowed his, God to, his word to work on you. When his word does not work on you, he can't save you. Salvation is not how you start, but he that continues. Amen. It's not just what you did. He said, if we may partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our steadfast. Steadfast means when the test comes, I will not swerve. I will not yield and I will not quit. Steadfast, I will not be deterred from my purpose and my goal. What's your purpose and goal? My purpose and goal is to make heaven my home, to please God. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to skip a whole bunch because for the sake of time, I just want to show you something about, let's start with verse 21, about how important God's word is. Amen. If you don't get anything out tonight, start reading God's word.
And then start allowing God's word to change you. No matter how long you've been, how you've been, just allow his word to change you. God's word can change you overnight if you yield to his word. When there was a storm out in the ocean, all he had to do was speak to what?
The word.
They said, hey, this is how God is. He said, now, my word can change nature, which man cannot touch. My word can change the whole course of nature, and man can't do anything with it. But my word can't help you in your small situations. Just think of it. Oh, his word can change the whole course of nature. And our little problems, he can't do it. If we yield, he will. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the what?
The will of the Father.
You won't get to heaven being obstinate, being contentious. But we must do the will of God. Many would say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name I've cast out devils. And in thy name I've done many wonderful works. We got all the signs of a Christian. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Well, why didn't God recognize what they were doing? Ye workers, you refuse to submit to my word. Iniquity is someone who refuses to allow God's word to change them. Iniquity is a person that has a lawless life. They will not live according to the word of God. He said, you know why I didn't recognize you? You didn't abide by my word. And when I look at my child, I want to see my spirit, and I want to see my word working in them. So because you did all that, yes, you spoke in tongues. Yes, you praised the Lord. Yes, you came to church. Yes, you were faithful in all of your auxiliaries. But you have iniquity. And iniquity is you refuse to allow my word to completely change you. Iniquity is a person that lives lawlessly or blatantly. Blatant is this. I should have been in church. I wasn't there. They don't even have shame when they do the wrong thing before God. But I'm going to be saved, he said. I didn't know you. Then he goes on to give the illustration for a person that has iniquity or does not live according to his word. The next verse says this. Therefore, what does he mean? He said, I'm going to give you an example of iniquity. I'm going to give you an example of lawlessness. I'm going to show you what the person is that does not take heed to my word. Therefore, whosoever heareth, whoever hears the word of God, this is what makes them have iniquity. And doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a. What did they do? They heard and they did. They didn't just hear, but they heard and they did. They built their house upon a what? What's a rock? It's a what? Solid foundation. A solid foundation we'll read about. Let's keep going. I'm going to get ahead of myself. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. A solid foundation. When the test comes, you will not quit. You will not sink. You will not be destroyed. Amen. We all saw Irene in her terror, in her fury. We talked about the storm. We talked about Irene the storm that came through. Did you see how it just wiped out whole cities? Amen. Everything was just destroyed because it didn't have a solid foundation. Amen. What was solid stood the test. That's a natural illustration, but God uses supernatural to bring about spiritual illustrations for us. He said, beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Next verse. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and that has iniquity, refuse to live according to my word, according to my truth, shall be likened unto a what kind of man?
Foolish man.
Foolish man that built his house
on the sand.
Now the difference between the man that builds his house on the rock and the sand is it takes effort to build on the rock. Amen. You got to dig down to where the hard part of the earth is. But the person that just wants salvation and everything that comes, they just build. They don't have time to put the energy into the work. They don't want to dig deep, so they just build it on the sand because it doesn't take any effort. That's the person that wants to just come to church. I just come to church. I don't want to do anything but come to church and leave. They just build their house on sand. Amen. Because they're not getting any depth. They're not getting any roots. So it says, and that house, and it fell, and what?
Great
was the fall of it. When we plant it on the solid rock, we won't fall. Amen. I think that's the last verse of that. But I want to go to Romans chapter 2, and the last two verses of Romans chapter 2, and this is where we'll close at. It takes effort to be saved. It takes effort to build your house on the rock. It takes your effort. Actually, I was supposed to go to James chapter 2, but we won't go there. You can read that in your spare time. It's about faith without works is what?
Dead.
Faith without works is dead. Just like the body without the spirit is what? Dead. You can't show God how much you love him by just talking all the time. We got some great salvation talkers. They just talk a good game, but they don't have the works. It takes effort to be saved. That's why you have to work out your salvation. Don't just relish it, just lay in it. You got to work on it. All right, Romans chapter 2, and we're going to go to the last two verses of that chapter. That being verses 28 and 29. We'll start with 28 of chapter 2. This is what we don't want to do. Now, the Word of God has dual applications. Even though he's talking about a Jew, it also applies to the what? Church. Because he was actually writing to the church. So though he's mentioning Jew, the word, even though he's mentioning Jew, the dual application is it also applies to you and I. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
All right. For he is not a Jew which is one. You are not a Christian outwardly. All right, we got, as I said, we got to walk, we got to talk, got close to a lot of, most of us got to look, right? Do any of us don't have a look? All right, so we got it all, right? Here, some people are smiling, some people are dropping their heads, so that means yes, no, maybe so. But anyway, we got to walk, we got to walk, all right? He is not a saved individual, which is why with just the outward show. Not just because they come to church. Not just because they dress the part. That is not just what makes us a Christian. Jew, Christian, interchangeable. Neither is that circumcision which is the outward and the what? The outward display. Next verse. But he is a Jew which is one. The change has to start where? Inwardly, we have to start changing where? On the heart, in the heart. It has to be one inwardly, not outwardly, but inwardly. The change has to be inwardly. Well, the only thing that can change us inwardly is his engrafted word, which we plant in our souls, not the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed that abideth
forever.
And circumcision of that of the heart. Now, the Jews were strict on the outward display, circumcision. You're not circumcised, you're not a Jew. Paul said, it's not just the outward. God is concerned about what's in our hearts. It's not just what you say. It's not just that I give the appearance of being on God's side. But is God's word working on you? Is it changing you? Amen. It should change you. He said, in the spirit and not in the letter. Whose praise?
Amen.
My salvation. I'm not trying to seek the praise of men. If I seek the praise of men, then that's all about what I do on the outside. It's all that man can see. Because man looks at the Paul said, God is not looking at what you do on the outside. God is not looking at your extemporaneous displays.
Somebody said spell it.
EX and the rest is in the book. God is not interested in your extemporaneous display of holiness. He's not impressed with your outward show. He said, he's not interested in the praise of men, but the true saint of God is interested in the praise of God. That's what being saved is about. I don't do it with eye service as a man pleaser. But I do it since the singleness of my heart, fearing God, as we stand. Let God's word change us. Amen. Let God's word work on us. And like I said, we can all put on a good show in front of others. But when we are by ourselves, when we are all alone, it's just us and God. Amen. It works on me too. I can tell you about you if I can tell you about me. There's a part of me I'll be asking God, God, can you just work on this? Can you just change this? Lord, there's some parts of me that if we ever get, when we get more people in the church, I can't be this. I can't do that. Lord, you got to work on me. Amen. So how does God work on me? By me giving heed according to his word. Tonight, God can change us. But the change cannot just be as a man pleaser on the outside, but as being singleness of our heart, fearing God with me.
Thank you, Jesus. For those that are able to stand, can you stand? Thank God for the precious word. We have to be Christians on the inside. The word has to get down in our hearts. After hearing the word of God tonight, is there anyone who wants to give their life to Christ? Realize that the word of God must be down in our hearts that we sin not against it. Is there anyone who desires prayer tonight? I want you to come to the altar. The altar is open. If you desire prayer, come to the altar. Ministers are here to pray for you. It's time to be saved. It's time to be right with God. Thank you.
We thank God for his word, for how the pastor had the boldness to speak his word in season or out when he feels like it and when he doesn't, because the time will come when they will not retain sound doctrine. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Dio being here.
Amen.
And gracing us with his presence. We're always happy to see him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are there any other announcements?
For those that are, I don't know, some of us can make it, some can't make it, but on Sunday at 4 o'clock, they will be installing the new priest here, and they would like as many people from Agape to come as they can. They're going to have a dinner afterwards. I told them we would come for the, those of us that can, we'll come for the installation. And, you know, so while they're not our faith, amen, we do things to be a witness.
That's right.
Amen. And not just that, but they have been, we are blessed, amen, you know, the mouth they let us use the church.
Right.
So that's a small way for us to say thank you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So those that are able to be here Sunday at 4 o'clock, you can do what they call earlier this week to make sure that some of us will be there. So for those that can, if you can be here Sunday at 4 o'clock, amen.
Amen.
And we also want to be mindful of the women's conference on next Sunday. It's a church conference, actually, a woman's speaker. Her name is Evangelist Pointer. Her daughter was abducted, raped, and murdered. And she has a personal crusade going around preaching about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. An awesome testimony. I hear she's been on Oprah Winfrey and several of the other television shows, just talking about how forgiveness came into her heart. Amen. So we're looking forward to being there, and I understand the praise team was asked to sing a few songs, so let's support that. Amen.
Amen.
And Sister Trey is doing a magnificent job.
Amen.
With the children.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Next Friday, the kids are having our Agape Spark with Children Ministry invites you to our first board game night. The kids want to do it next Friday. They also are having pizza and drinks. And they came up with the idea of every one of them have to bring a dollar so we can have money for the next time that we do an activity.
Right.
We are also doing a museum trip next Saturday. And I spoke to them, and then after that we're gonna go out to eat somewhere. And then we went to my job on the 16th. And I took the day off so I can be with them. Okay, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have a great report from Sister Trey's job. She took the young people there to, she works at a nursing home. And she took the young people there, and they really did well in serving and taking care of the seniors. Amen. They love stuff like that, to see the children come into the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids had a very rewarding experience. We thank Sister Trey for that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's remember on the first Sunday of February will be our signing praise group. Doing their debut. We're looking forward to that. It's boys and girls, young people, and we also are having our community fellowship dinner. We will have flyers for you next Sunday. Our community fellowship dinner is open to the community to come to service and stay for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And also is our Lord's Supper Day. So got a lot going on. Amen.
Yeah.
We're all looking forward to it and excited about it. Brother Fred is in the hospital. Let's pray for him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for God just to have his way in his life
Amen.
And to touch his body.
Yes.
Amen. Let's remember Nasir Camp.